Praise be to God.
Amen.
Amen. I am so encouraged by the word. Some of the things that my husband was mentioning in the scriptures that I have. So I thank God for confirming his word. And it is a wonderful thing to just stand and knowing that he has given the mandate to stand. And last week after preaching, he asked me, so do you think you finished with the message? I said, I'm done. But even when I said that, I said, well, I will check in my spirit. I said, let him just wait. And on Tuesday, I said, well, I'm getting some glimpse of what is more into the word. And then now, as I'm prepared, it is just so much. I just have the revival of the word.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining in it. But that's what he just said. It's mostly the word of God. The title of our message is A Believing Heart. And today we are on part two. Last week, mostly we were covering the story of Rahab. We were looking at this great salvation that God gave to that lady. And not only leaving her just to receive the salvation of her life and of her family, but to give her life within Israel. And the Bible says, to this day, she lives in Israel. And I said, you know, for me to say to this day, the Lord put that way intentionally. Because when you read it in the Bible, it's going to read to this day, many, many, many years to come. So to this day she lives. And we know now, as we look into the life of Christ, that to this day, we are talking of the great grandmother of Jesus Christ, is Rahab. So she lives. We were then just looking at the favor of God in saving us and looking at the life that he brings. It's the life in abundance to the full until it overflows. And that's where now we are. As I looked at this message, then it's like a kingdom package. You know, when you're getting employed, they ask you, you talk about what is your package. So for me, this is a kingdom package. There is salvation, there is provision, there is protection, there is spiritual walk and growth around that, and then there is ages to come. So you can have more around those things. I mean, you can divide them and talk about them in different ways. So last week we touched on salvation and a bit on ages to come, because we understand that even as Rahab now, as she is in heaven, looking back in the ages to come for her, she has reached her ages to come. She saw that heart of believing made me a grandmother to the Messiah. What an honor. So she saw the glory of God just because she believed. Amen. So I'm going to touch these five subjects. So right now, I'm going to just highlight on salvation, provision, protection. I think I'm going to go more on spiritual walk. So, amen. And as my husband was then asking me, do you have a message? And the word that came was sufficiency, sufficiency. And the Lord just reminded me of the word that he is El Shaddai. And that he is the God that is powerful and he's wealthy, heavy. You know, he provides, he blesses. And you connect with him in your heart and you are covered.
Amen.
So this package, you are just covered.
Amen.
There will be no lack.
Hallelujah.
No lack of this protection, no lack of provision. And in your spiritual walk, that's where we now, as children of God, now walking in this salvation, tend to struggle. We wonder, when will I do whatever? You know, whatever thing that you aspire to do or to be, you may think that, no, it's not happening. We may think that the ministry is not where it's supposed to be. God has promised something big, but it's not there. When? What's happening? So all those issues where we have questions, the Lord just says, it is done. It is finished. And we need to now understand and be unshaken. we will not be shaken, because we trust in God, and He has finished the work. That's an amazing part, that in some scripture it says Israel did not enter his rest, yet the work was finished before the foundations of the earth. So if they knew, they would have just said, okay, Lord, we are here. So that's the attitude we should have, that Lord, you have called us and we are here. We are here to serve you, whatever else that need be. We know that you have provided and you have made a way. Amen. So highlighting on the believing heart, just still in line with our title. Today, the subtitle then says, a steadfast heart is trusting in the Lord. That's a believing heart. It is a steadfast heart, steadfast and trusting in the Lord. Our key scripture for today, we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 to 58. The Bible says, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And as I mentioned, your labor now is a labor to enter his rest. That's what it says in the book of Hebrews, that's now our task, to just enter his rest. Whatever that he has said, or you will find out as you believe in him concerning his finished work, either in you or for you or through you, God says it is finished. Amen. So in terms of salvation, I just want to highlight the fact that there is no professionalism. You know, you may come as a person that has not known the Lord. You decided to believe in God. Now your believing heart has connected with the Lord. But just rest assured, it is called, you are now born again. And you know, all this knowledge that you may have, maybe from theology, just lay everything down and just understand you are now a child. And the Bible says, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So you are now a child. And the Bible says, as the children desire the milk of the word of God. So whatever knowledge, it doesn't matter what you know. Just say, Lord, teach me. Because you are now going to be taught by the Spirit of God. So you are born again. And you are now called a child of God. And the Spirit says in you, Abba, Father. It calls God Father because you are now a child. So, and the Bible, as it says, desire the milk of the word so that you may grow then therein. Yeah. So we need to know the word of God. And the best thing to do as a newborn believer is to know the work that Jesus did after the cross, know about what he said in the epistles, in the letters that the apostles were now writing to each other out of the revelation, because God is not stagnant. He is moving, and he moved. There was time for everything. So the present truth of the time after he is gone is what the apostles have laid as the foundation, and it is a sealed thing. It's complete. There's no new way, there's no new doctrine. It's just what the apostle said. And just desire that milk and grow in it. Amen. 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 And then the other part on the provision is to understand the sufficiency that we have in God. We know that he is our everything. In Romans chapter 8, that's where also you find that word, that he freely gives us all things. So we need not to wonder, Lord, what shall I eat? What shall I wear? God provides. And he says, if he can take care of the birds and make flowers that grow today and are dead tomorrow to be so beautiful, how much more about you who he calls his child? He is a faithful father. He will provide. And he provides out of his riches in glory. So it's not that the supply will run out, but he provides. And he has made us his ambassadors. When you are an ambassador, you live from the resources of your country. So what are the resources of God? It's riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. So there is no need to worry of what we shall eat, whatever need that we have, he supplies. Amen. Amen. And then there is this other part of protection. Why protection? We live in a fallen world, and the devil hates you as a child of God. You are now this thing that he thought he has made sure that it doesn't continue, because he tried to stop the plan in the Garden of Eden. And then he failed, because God promised him on the day he came to Adam that you, Satan, you are going to be crushed. And the finished work of Christ has made sure that he is crushed. And the Lord said to Eve, your seed will crush him. So he is crushed, and he didn't know how it happened, because the Bible says if the devil knew what was happening, if the principalities knew what was happening, they wouldn't have let Jesus die. So it was like a plan that snatched us from his pit of hell to say restoration has come. Amen. So God did a wonderful work in restoring us into the image that he first gave us. And that's the image that he wanted to have. The devil wanted that image when he said, I will be like God. And God has said, I've made you as gods. Amen. That's why he will hate you so much. And know that, and don't play around. So you need to know that you are hated by the devil, and then you need to know who you are, because that revelation in our hearts needs to flow, and we need to renew our minds. This is where the battle comes. The Bible says in Romans 12 verse 1, then do not conform to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you need to renew your mind to know the truth of who you are in Christ. Amen. And there are so many scriptures then that you can find about the protection of God. You can find them in the words of the prophets, and the words of the prophets, including the prophet David, most of his words are about protection. Psalm 91, Psalm 23, protection, provision. You can see that, and as now you are led by the Spirit, he will show you. Amen. My husband said we are in the revival of the word. So in this one of the spiritual walk, we're walking by the Spirit. The Bible says the Lord is looking after his word to perform it in our lives. So for us, as fountain of his word, he gave us the first scripture that we agreed upon as a husband and wife. It was Psalm 107 verse 20, to say this ministry fountain of his word will be based on Psalm 107 verse 20. So that's our foundation scripture. And the word is just covering everything. So the word is God anyway, you know, because in the book of John he said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In Psalm 107 verse 20, it says, he sent forth his Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. When you meditate on that and understanding that this Word is even the being of God, he is here. He sent forth the Messiah to heal us, to deliver us from our destruction. And then have the word covering you. Stay on the word and desire the sincere milk of the word so that you may grow. As you grow, you find that it is meat. It's more. There's more. You know, there are some sinuses that are so delicious in this meat that you can eat and suck out of these bones of this word. Amen. Amen. So the word of God is powerful. The word of God does everything. It does everything. It's so unique. So desire the word of God. And then in Psalm 12, verse 6 to 7, the Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. That is like perfected. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. The Lord keeps his word. He looks after his word to perform it. Whatever he has said, he will do. That is his word. Looking at the integrity of God and all his mighty works and in all his names. The Bible mentions his names, especially in the Old Testament. You get to know him as Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha. From different areas, he reveals himself in his names. You can understand that God is a huge God. He is Almighty God. And in Numbers 23, verse 19, the Bible describes God. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? So the Lord is faithful to his word, and he will not change his mind. And that's why we need to understand that whatever God has said, and that's why it's so important for us now to take the word of God and say, I receive this one. You know, when it registers in your heart, you just need to decide that this one, I'm taking it. And it will connect with you. You'll know that this is the promise of God without anybody even coming to prophesy. Yet it is wonderful to have prophecies that you hear from people. And even for us as this ministry, we are having the words of prophecy. We're keeping them close and we are standing on those words. And I'll come to that later. And then in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy, let us go there. Also talking about the integrity of God. Chapter 1, verse 12. This is Paul talking. And he's talking to Timothy, and then he highlights the issues that he has in persecution and all that. So he says, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. I know whom I have believed. It is important to know this God that you have come to believe, because he is a faithful God. And then in terms of trusting in the Lord, Psalm 20, verse 5-9. You can read the whole psalm. It's a wonderful psalm. It's about assurance of God's saving work. It says in verse 5, we will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Amen. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. Amen. We trust in our God. We will not be shaken. Hallelujah. So stand on the word of God. Trust him as God. And now know that he sent forth his word to heal us and deliver us. So if you don't see God like, hey, God, where are you? Go to his word and find out about all the promises and all the goodness that he is. Amen. I'm going to share now about my personal experience as I was looking for the manifestation of some things in my life. Highlight a little bit on the walk. Last year, it had been now years when I've been trusting God for a certain area, and I was kind of weary. And I was saying, Lord, okay, really, because even in that situation, there was condemnation and there was an issue of, will really the Lord still do this because of my weakness in that situation? The Lord gave me Romans 8:32. And from that time on, Romans 8:32 has just opened my eyes and made me to realize, oh, what a great salvation that we have. And it has been an anthem for me. And that was in July 2015. I've marked it here. It says, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" And I said, thank you, Lord. That just settled it. Because if he gave his son to die for me, and to find me in a fallen state, lost, and his precious son who knew no sin coming to die for me and cleansing me, how can he then not give me this little thing that I need? It may be big in my eyes, but to him it's like the little thing, because he has given the bigger one, his son. And how shall he not freely give me now anything else that I need? Oh, you don't know how comforting that was. And from that day on, and as I look now, last month towards the end of June, I was thinking, okay, Lord, for me right now, it doesn't look like that situation is completely restored. But I say, okay, there is just no concern anymore. You know, when the Bible says, cast your cares upon him, that's how it happened. I said, okay, if he did it, he will do it. So if he did the big one, he will do the small one. And then now I had no care. And as I look, I can't even worry about it. I say, okay, this is good. I don't know, and he knows. He will do it. He knows how, and he knows when. And he is faithful to do what he has promised to do. Amen. So it is important for us to stay in the word, and so that we are not deceived. You know, if maybe I would have had somebody else, and they will give me some fables, you know, the stories of, no, it's because of this weakness. Or, no, the Lord doesn't do that. So it's important to know the word so that you can have an answer. And he can tell you, this is it, my baby, this is it. You are fine. You are mine. I have covered it, so don't worry. So I would have received some comfort from some other source that will give me and let me go into more condemnation. But, oh, no, the Lord doesn't work like that. No, it's because of this and this. No, you won't receive that. No, don't worry about it. It's just the Lord knows. And unfortunately, that would have really, really killed my spirit. And I would doubt the Lord. So it is important for us to know the Lord, to know his way. This way, when we now know the word of God, the importance of that. With me now having this scripture, the word of God, I became invincible. The ways and the lies of the enemy would not convince me otherwise. So in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 to 19, the Bible says, fight the good fight. And that's what we need to do. If we don't have the right weapons, we will be defeated out of the ring. And the Bible says this is a race. And we are in a race, and we need to be focused. And the Bible says we need to look unto Jesus, not to be distracted by what happens on the side. And we are in a warfare. The Bible says we are fighting not against flesh and blood. So we need to know that the enemy has not accepted his defeat in a way that he still wants a lot of people. He still wants to destroy. But the Lord said, I have come to give you life and have it more abundantly. In this scripture, 1 Timothy 1, verse 18 to 19, the word says, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Know the word. It's in the form of a prophecy, or it's in the word like I received this one. Stand on the word. Declare that word. When you feel like you are losing hope, you don't know what to do, and you say, but my God, but my God says, but his word says, mm-hmm. and that's how even Jesus defeated the enemy mm-hmm. when he was tempting him. Mm-hmm. He said, it is written, the mm-hmm. word says. Mm-hmm. That's how we fight a good warfare. We are in a warfare, and that's how we need to fight, standing in the word. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. It's the wiles, it's the tricks.
Yeah.
It's the deception of the enemy, of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The truth is the word of God. Mm-hmm. The breastplate of righteousness is the understanding of who we are. Mm-hmm. We are righteous. We are covered. We are, you know, you put it in this chest where mm-hmm. this believing heart is. Mm-hmm. We know that nothing can take that, can touch that. But we're putting it in a way of just reminding ourselves, renewing our minds that now I'm a child of God. Now I'm born again. Now greater is he that lives here in this heart. So the breastplate is about my goodness with God. It's not what I've done. It's not what I have not done. But I am righteous because he has decided to make me righteous. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And this is also just not a personal thing. You do the warfare standing in the word of God, trusting him and not only looking after yourself, but praying for others as well. Mm-hmm. And in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 6 to 7, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The Bible, I think it's in James, it says, you have not because you ask not. Yeah. Ask, you know, so that you may receive. Mm-hmm. So let your requests be made known unto God. Mm-hmm. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of God. As I made an example, I now was trying to look, about this issue. There's nothing. I'm just at peace. There's no more concern. The peace of God, because of the way that it has entered and has taken over the situation, even renewing my mind to the goodness of God, the peace of God just flooded my soul and I had no concern. And even to this day, I have no concern because he is handling it. Amen. And with him, he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above even what I was asking in that situation. So I'm expecting big things. Amen. Because he is involved. It's not me. Amen. There's nothing that my hands would have done in that situation. Yes, I was trusting him. But because of the condemnation, I was wondering, will it happen? You know? And then he deals with it. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So let us just understand that the battle is in our minds. Amen. And that's why we need to renew our mind. In conclusion, this was just about us understanding and standing in faith. Let's go to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 14 to 16. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. We are born of love. God is love. You may say, ah, but you know, I'm not a lovey-dovey person. But you are now born of love. That's the fruit of what you have. Love flows from us. It's a fruit. We don't struggle. We don't strain to have love. We are born of love. Amen. So it says, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's the beautiful life of a believer. That's a beautiful life of a believer. Whatever you come across, sing. Sing to the Lord. And as you sing, you even confuse the devil. Because he might be bringing this bomb into you and say, no, this is not done. But say, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. And sing unto the Lord his praises. Let them flow. Let them flow out of you. And the Bible says in the book of Philippians, he who started a great work in you shall see it until the day of Christ. This work is done. It's not the work of men. It is his work. He will see it to the end because it's already finished. Amen. And we don't strive because the Bible says it is not by might. It is not by power, but by his spirit. Amen. And then we need just to run the race looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Look unto Jesus when all else makes noise and say, what's happening, whatever. You just look unto Jesus and say, Lord, have your way. Lord, take over. Amen. Hallelujah. And the last scripture, it's Jude chapter 1. Verse 24. This is now the praising closing scripture. It says, glory to God. Every time, just keep on, as I said, as we read the scripture, giving praises unto the Lord. Glorify God. It says, glory to God. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. He is able to present us blameless. You know, the devil will tell you, no, you are so dead. How can you call yourself a Christian, but you just treated your child like that? How can you say, oh, come on. He is able to keep us from falling and to make us stand in the presence of God's glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God, a believing heart. Beautiful, beautiful way. Psalm 112 that we read earlier talks about the righteous man, the state of a righteous man. That is what this word is all about. A believing heart. We really praise God for such a wonderful word. And this was a blessing, a great blessing, a reminder of who we are. So let's just thank God for the word. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father. Thank you for the food that you dished this morning, Father. We are grateful. It's delicious, Father. A reminder of who we are, Father. And Father, a reminder as well of how we can stand on who we are through a believing heart. Father, we receive our state. We receive all that you've given to us, Father. By faith, Father, we declare that in Jesus' mighty name, we receive and we have all that you have promised, all that you have provided, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare that we have it and we shall not be denied. In Jesus' mighty name, we give you praise for this. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.